The Tennis Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by NordicBet Fantasy. Play the fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at NordicBet Fantasy using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is currently early Friday morning, roughly 1:30 a.m. Eastern time here on April 26th. Apologies for the lateness of the video, but of course, we have NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs, and I was watching the Lakers lose again to Denver, so I was busy. By the way, point is now we are here to break down the second round of Madrid, so we're going to go through the preview of those matches in a second. A reminder of the usual format if you are new to the show. We are going to be covering the rounds of each round, I should say, of the Masters 1000 events, but we are not going to cover each individual match. There are too many matches to go through, so I'm going to go through matches that caught my eye, talk about my picks or my thoughts on those matches, then we'll get into the actual lock and dog picks, the official picks, at the end of the show. Before we get into any of that, though, do want to remind everybody once again to like, subscribe on YouTube, or don't forget to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. You can consume the podcast either way. Makes no difference to me. Point is, though, make sure to leave some feedback, either positive or negative, if you do enjoy or even hate the show. Also, a reminder to check out the SGPN merch store to pick up some nice Tennis Gambling Podcast merch. We have mugs. We have t-shirts, high-quality stuff. Recommend going to the SGPN merch store if you want to support the show that way. And a reminder that we also have a bunch of other shows with the network. We have 20-plus shows that focus on gambling in specific sports. So if you want basketball coverage, we cover that in the NBA show. If you want NHL playoff stuff, we cover that too in the Hockey Gambling Podcast. If you want, for example, football, we have an NFL show too. We cover every sport. So if you want UFL, we have that too. NASCAR, you get the point. F1, we even have a bunch of sports-specific podcasts. So once again, check out the SGPN actual website to find other great shows of the network as well. Time to actually get into the recap of what happened in the first round. Unfortunately, the slump that we've been in has continued because we went over again. And the lock was especially painful as we had Moutet moneyline at minus 152. I'm trying not to sound hyperbolic, but that might have been one of the best tennis matches I've ever seen. He ended up losing a four-hour marathon in a tiebreak. I forgot what the score was. 12-10, 13-11 maybe? In the actual tiebreaker for the third set. Match took about 4 hours. It was 12-10 in the final set. One of the greatest matches I've ever seen. Now, of course, I'm still going to put some of the Grand Slam matches ahead of it. Djokovic, Nadal, Australian Open. If you want a Nadal, Federer, Wimbledon, you get the point. There's a lot of great matches up there. The Djokovic, Wawrinka matches and the Australian Open you can put up there. A lot of all-time matches. For two out of three sets, that's an all-timer. If you did not follow it, you missed out on a barn burner because it was a four-hour match, give or take, with a 6-2 set in there, which is almost impossible. But either way, point is you ended up seeing Shang convert, I believe, on his sixth match point. The tiebreak alone was an all-timer. But either way, Moutet was on the wrong side of it as he ended up losing 12-10 in the breaker, and we lost the lock. As for the dog, wasn't close to Grannis Vinolas and Kotov over 2.5 sets at plus 130, and Kotov did win in straight sets. So not a good run for us recently. Not going to shy away from it. I know we had a good run about a week or two ago, and we're going to buckle down here and snap the streak and get back on track here on Friday. Now, once again, the actual game plan for the show, going to get into the round of 64. Before getting to any of that, though, do want to at least recap what happened in the round of 128. Starting off, just going in order, randomly, you saw Navone ended up beating Papyrin in straight sets. Navone is really, really good. I said that I'm happy ended up losing to Fuksovics in the final over the weekend because he's going to win a clay title at some point, and I want his odds to be pretty high up there, at least double-digit range when he wins one because he is really, really good. Besides that, though, Daniel beat Vukic in three. You saw Seawolf Wild beat Safulin in straight sets. Good win for him there. Shevchenko won a marathon against Rinderknecht to, let's just say, non-clay specialist. Let's put it that way. And that ended up going distance. Van Asch ended up beating Bergs in three sets. Good match there. Monfi lost. Got killed by Dardarian straight sets. Morozin beat Karatsev in straight sets. Nice to see Karatsev back. Did win 7-6, 7-6. Draper won a marathon against Kokkinakis. You saw George beat Hassan in three. Bagnus won in straight sets. Eubanks lost. Terrible clay player, not surprised. He ended up seeing Shang beat Mutet in the match of probably the tournament, and Chapo ended up beating Diaz Acosta in three. That's going to wrap it up for the actual Wednesday recap. Now for the Thursday matches, ended up seeing a couple of interesting matches, especially early in the day. Four of the first five matches of the day ended up going to three sets. Katchen finally won a match. I believe he had lost 15 straight matches, and he beat Offner in straight sets. Damn, Offner's been terrible. Good for Katchen, though. 15 straight is abysmal, but nice job getting back to the winner circle. Magic beat Rusevori in three. Felix beat Nishioka in three. Kaboli beat Tabilo in three. And Purcell beat Giron in three. Gasquet lost to Sonego in straight sets. Montero had a nice win against Lahovic in straight sets, after he had a couple of tough matches in qualifying. Moving on, you had Arnaldi beating O'Connell in straight sets. Agut beat Gallant in three. Lucky loser Agut did look pretty sharp, at least for parts of the match, especially late as Gallant kind of ran out of gas there after the second set. Besides that, though, Mensik beat Hanfman. What else was there? Mijedovic, our 100-1 shot to win the quarter, ended up winning against Kovacevic, so he's still alive. Nadal beat Blanche in straight sets 6-1, 6-0. Blanche never stood a chance. I hope he got an autograph or maybe a photo, because damn, that was embarrassing. But either way, not too shocking that Nadal killed this random young American kid in straight sets with a bagel in there on clay. Fonseca had a nice win, as he ended up losing the first set to Mickelson, and he won in three. And Baena came back and ended up beating Kempfer in three. And we also have Baena to win the quarter. So the 40-1 shot and the 100-1 shot to win the quarters are alive. So we ended up losing no outrights for the first round. Hopefully that continues in the round of 64. Anyway, now time to move on to the actual preview for the round of 64. So we're going to start off with the actual matches obviously taking place on Friday. A reminder, we're not going to cover all the matches, just some of them. So keep that in mind. Decent amount of good matches, though. So keep an eye out for those. But you have Morozin taking on Cerundolo in the early matches at around 5 a.m. Eastern time. Morozin's a small favorite, minus 134. You have Cerundolo at plus 114. Over-under set at 22.5 games. The over 2.5 sets is set at around plus 120 or plus 125 if you shop around. Now, Cerundolo has been the king of painful losses this season, or at least he's in the royal family, because he loses all the time in painful fashion. And you should expect to see a competitive match here. One head-to-head matchup was on hard court. Morozin beat him in the Australian Open in straight sets. But you saw Cerundolo lose again in three sets to Navone in Bucharest. Every time he loses, it goes the distance. He just can't help it. He just loses in three. Morozin did not exactly look great against Karatsev, who had not played in a while, as he won in straight sets. I believe Karatsev, though, ended up having 9 set points in the first set, and he choked them all away. So I think you can make an argument the wrong person's favorite here, because Morozin is not exactly known for being a great clay player. I think we'd agree Cerundolo's best surface is probably clay, but I think Cerundolo has some value as the dog here. I don't mind the actual over into this matchup, but to go through the actual first set of that matchup against Karatsev, Karatsev serving it out at 6-5, had 40 love, and he blew those three set points. Then he had four separate advantages, so he blew those two. So that is 7 set points right there. I actually undersold it. It was more than I thought. He had 7 set points serving at 6-5. Then he was up 6-2 in the breaker, and he blew 4 set points there. So he blew 11 set points. 11. And he ended up losing in straight sets. So I can't say Morozin played that well, since Karatsev was kind of on the shelf for a while. 11 set points, that's probably not a good look. I think Cerundolo has value here, so I'm going to lean to the dog here at plus 114. Moving on, you have Seboth Weil taking on Musetti in what should be a very fun match. Musetti's around minus 170. Seboth Weil's around plus 150. The spread is 2.5. The over-under for games is 22.5. Over 2.5 sets is plus 130. I like the over in this matchup. I see a pretty close battle between the two of them. You're looking at the head-to-head, and Seboth Weil is actually up 1-0. It was a long time ago. They faced off in juniors, and Seboth Weil did beat him in three on hard court. So it means absolutely nothing. It was 6 years ago. But the point is, I do think that Musetti and Seboth Weil can be streaky. They're both solid on clay. Seboth Weil's been pretty solid over the last couple of weeks, and I think he's going to want to play well. So I don't mind potentially a flyer with the dog, but give me the over 2.5 sets at plus 130. I do like the value there quite a bit. Skipping ahead to a matchup involving a pretty sizable favorite, in my opinion, too sizable. You have Rublev taking on Bagnus. Rublev is minus 550. Bagnus is plus 425. Rublev minus 4.5 games and Bagnus plus 4.5 games. Over-under is set at 21.5. Over 2.5 sets is plus 190. Bagnus to win a set is plus 140. I know Bagnus is older. Simply put, I think the odds here are absurd. They faced off on clay in 2020. Rublev did win in straight sets, but Rublev's been a mess. He's lost four straight matches. Ever since he got DQ'd in Dubai, he's been atrocious. And Bagnus has been good. He went through qualifying, ended up beating Gulfen, beat Zepieri, beat Nakashima in straight sets. Not exactly three names worth writing home about in 2024, but the point is Rublev has been a mess. I'm not going to assume he should be a minus 550 against a clay expert. I like the games here, plus 4.5. I don't mind the over 2.5 sets maybe, but I mean, Bagnus to win a set of plus 140 is appealing. Rublev's been terrible, and he's lost to some pretty underwhelming players. Lost to Nakashima in his last match on clay in straight sets. Lost to Papyrin in straight sets in Monte Carlo. Lost to Makic in straight sets. Lost to Laheshka in straight sets. He's been terrible. I think Bagnus has some value here, just fading the current form of Rublev. And because of that, I think you're in line to pick up a nice plus money price. So give me the flyer here, fading Rublev at this current price point, especially. Give me Bagnus to potentially win a set at plus 140. I think the value is definitely there in that matchup. Skipping ahead a couple of matches, you have a matchup between... we'll go to Draper against Hurkacz, which should be a fun one. Hurkacz is minus 140. Draper's plus 120. Spread is at 2.5 in favor of Hurkacz. Over-under set at 24.5 games. And the over 2.5 sets is plus 120. Small bit of deja vu here in this matchup because you have a rematch of what we saw in Monte Carlo, where that match did go to three sets and Hurkacz did win in a final set breaker. So the question is, can Draper finally get revenge as he ended up beating Kokkinakis in three in the last round? But the Monte Carlo match was fun, and Draper eventually fell short. Competitive match, though. Hurkacz, though, has not played since Monte Carlo. Ended up losing to Rude in straight sets, who eventually ended up losing in the final. And then he won the title in Barcelona. So no shame in that, though. Rude was in good form. Hurkacz, I think, should be favored, but I like the over again. If we just saw the matchup take place and it went to three sets, why would I switch it up? I think the over 2.5 sets has value at plus 120, maybe plus 125 shopping around. So I like the over and that matchup. Give me a war. Moving on, you have looking at some other matchups. You have Fritz taking on Dardari. Fritz is around minus 220. Dardari is around plus 190. Spread's 2.5 in favor of Fritz. Over-under set at 23. The over 2.5 sets is set at plus 125. Now, for this one, I think I'm going to lean to the dog here. I think that Dardari is actually live to maybe pull off an upset here. I'm not saying that he's going to, but I think the price is a little bit large. Dardari's a clay player that I like. We know that he's relatively new to the ATP Tour, already won a clay title, won his first ever ATP tournament. Fritz, though, has been okay recently, made a deep run in Munich, did lose to Struff in the final. But the point is he's not played on Madrid yet, and you're looking at Dardari beating Monfi in straight sets comfortably on Wednesday. So I do like the idea of Dardari getting a good price here as a clay expert against Fritz. It wouldn't shock me if the match turned into a war, so give me the value there at plus 190. I think we're going to skip ahead. Alcaraz is playing, but he's favored by a ton, so there's really nothing to talk about for that matchup. I think he wins like 6-2, 6-2. I think he absolutely kills Shevchenko, assuming that he's fully healthy. But since he's playing, I'm assuming Alcaraz will be. Moving on, you have a matchup between Rune and Navone, which is a very, very fun matchup. Rune's minus 240, Navone's plus 200. The spread is 3.5 in favor of Rune, and the over-under set at 21.5. Over 2.5 sets is set at plus 150. You're looking at Rune in straight sets at even money. Navone plus 1.5 sets is minus 130. I think Navone is really good, but I know that Rune is also very solid on clay. This is just a fun match. This might be a match you go out of your way to actually watch. This should be a lot of really long and fun rallies. And with that being the case, I think I'm going to lean to Navone to win a set here. Rune looked very good in Munich early, then ended up losing in straight sets 6-2, 6-0 to Struff. But we know Rune can be a head case, and Navone can find himself in a decent amount of marathon matches. I think he will be able to get under Rune's skin at some point in this matchup and you might see Rune self-destruct at various points in the matchup. Maybe Navone can win this thing, but I'm not going to fully take the money line. I think I'd rather just take the games at +3.5, or maybe even take the set at -130. I see a competitive match, though. I think my main lean would be the over 2.5 sets at +150. Give me a marathon, which Rune, in my opinion, probably ekes out in 3 sets. I think that's going to do it, though, for Friday. Moving on to the Saturday slate in Madrid. A couple of interesting matches. You have Manarino making his return to clay, but he's not very good on clay, so I'm not going to bother. Felix is a massive favorite, so I'm going to skip that. Looking at some other options here, you have Jari against Caboli. You have Jari -185. Caboli is +160, and you're looking at the over-under set at 22.5 games, and you're looking at what should be a pretty competitive matchup. We saw them face off in Australia. We actually had Caboli to win that match, and he did. I like the over, and I think it's going to be a marathon. So give me the over in that one. I see a marathon. I already told you I wrote off Jari. I'm not going to take him anymore. I think he's too much of a head case. But I do think with Caboli beating him earlier this year in 5 sets, he's not going to be intimidated. And the first time they faced off was on clay and Gestad in 2022. And Jari did win, but it was 7-6, 7-5. So I think Caboli can match up. And I do think that you're looking at what should be a 3-set matchup. Give me the over in that one. Moving on, you have Shelton taking on Makic. Interesting matchup here. Shelton is around -132. You have Makic at +112. Game spread, -1.5 games for Shelton, +1.5 for Makic. Over and under is at 23.5 games. Now, I find the actual line interesting because I'm kind of wondering why Shelton's favored in this matchup. Now, I understand Shelton's rating might be better. Is Shelton a great clay player? No, not really. He ended up winning a title in Houston, which we know is kind of BS clay, if that's what we're going to call it, but the point is, Makic already played a match here, so he should be comfortable. Shelton has not played since Houston, so Shelton has not played in about 20 days, and now is traveling to Europe to play actual clay. I'm not sold on him being a favorite here. Makic went to 3 against Rusevori, did win. Played in Barcelona, though, ended up playing in doubles in Barcelona, too. So I just think Makic is a bit more familiarized with European clay, and I do think that there's value on what should be a close matchup. And with the speed of the courts, I actually realized I misspoke in the original episode. Madrid is on the slower side. I thought it was on the faster side, so apologies there. But with the slow court speed, that might actually hurt Shelton, who can be a little bit, intolerant in the rallies, and he can get impatient. So I don't mind Makic here on the money line at +112 or the over. I see a pretty close matchup. Moving on, you have Medvedev taking on Rinaldi. Medvedev's -3.5 games, Rinaldi +3.5 games, and Medvedev is around -240 or so on the money line. Over-under for games is set at 22. I think the match is interesting. Medvedev's 2-0 in the head-to-head against Rinaldi, both on hard court, though. Now, Rinaldi's a good clay player. Medvedev is okay on clay. Definitely his worst surface. I don't see much value on this matchup. I think Rinaldi can hang in there. Am I picking him to win? No. So I don't have much. Maybe if you want to go 3 sets, but I really don't see much value on that matchup. I'm going to have to pass. Moving on, you have, what else is there to talk about? I mean, Sinner's playing and Tsitsipas are playing, but they're massive favorites. I'm not going to bother. Cord is a massive favorite over Purcell. I'm not going to talk about that either. Rude's a massive favorite over Kecmanovic. I think Rude should win that one in straight sets. Not really much else to talk about, to be honest. I think we kind of covered everything for the Saturday card. What else is there? I mean, there are a couple of plays I'm going to save for later in the episode. There is one matchup, though, I do want to talk about before we officially wrap up the preview. We have a rematch of the matchup we just saw in Barcelona between Dimonauer and Nadal. Now, Dimonauer is around -190, give or take. Nadal is around +150. You're looking at them once again playing last week. And the first set was competitive. Dimonauer did win the first set 7-5. Then Nadal kind of ran out of gas, and Nadal did lose the second set 6-1. So the question is, do I think Nadal can actually hang in there stamina-wise for what should be a very long match? I don't know. Nadal had the easiest match possible in the first round, losing one game. Dimonauer did not play in the first round. He had a bye. Did not look great in Barcelona, though. Ended up losing to Fies right after beating Nadal in straight sets. I think I might actually take a spin with Nadal here, but I think I'm going to take the first set. My concern is the overall stamina, but I do think Nadal is going to look better than he did against Dimonauer in Barcelona. And I think with that being the case, he already took it to a 7-5 in the first set, even with that being the case. So I don't mind the actual Nadal money line in the first set. The longer the match goes, the worse it's going to look for Nadal. So if you want to take him early. Maybe if you want to go for the long shot prop that I haven't taken in a while, if you want to go for Nadal to win the first set and Dimonauer to win the match, that might be a massive plus price. So that could be an interesting flyer. I don't think Nadal would actually withdraw if he was injured because it's in his home country, and he said it's going to be the last time he ever plays in Madrid. So if Nadal does get injured, he might just tough it out and accept the ass-kicking. So keep that in mind. There might be some value if you want to maybe live bet the match. If you think that Nadal's, overall stamina and fitness are betraying him midway through the match. But if you want to look at the actual bets here, I'm trying to see if I can find the long shot prop. Okay, so if you want Nadal to win the first set and Dimonauer to win the match, plus 650? I think it's a really good deal at plus 650. It's not Varias against Hurkacz, but it's still a great price. I think you're looking at 650 being a good value play in that matchup. But I think Nadal is alive to make it interesting. I think he might win the first set. First set money line for Nadal is plus 130 that I actually am kind of intrigued by. But I do think that it's going to be a close match. And I'm going to lean to Nadal, but I prefer, for value alone, the first set as well as Dimonauer to win the match after losing the first set at plus 650. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the actual preview of the Around 64 in Madrid. Now it's time for the lock and dog picks. Before we continue that, do want to take a quick word from our sponsor. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as picking higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a lot of fun. A reminder, by the way, if you are interested in basketball for Underdog Fantasy, you might only get one more LeBron game for the rest of the season, so keep that in mind. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. And a reminder, they also have a lot of great tennis options. They have aces, double faults, breaks of serve, a lot of unique angles to make tennis more interesting. And new customers do get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Check the calendar for today's special. Underdog's also running a ton of fun promotions, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks. That's at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog's available in 30 states and 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they launched Champions, their new player versus player format in Florida. So make sure to use the code SGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit of $100. So Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the Round of 64 in Madrid. Now it is time for the lock and dog picks. Starting off with the lock, in order to try to buck the losing streak, we are going to do something different. Going to go with a two-pick parlay in this one. We're going to take Alcaraz to win in straight sets. Parlayed with Kachanov moneyline at minus 106 as the two-pick parlay. I believe Kachanov's around minus 190, and Alcaraz straight sets was around minus 375. Combine the two, you get minus 106. So a couple reasons why I'm going with Alcaraz. I'm not going to spend too much time on this pick. Two-time defending champion, Shevchenko beat Rinderknecht in the first round in three. Both guys really not good on clay. I think Shevchenko's going to get his ass kicked. If Alcaraz is healthy, there might be a potential bagel or breadstick available in this matchup. But simply put, Shevchenko's game does not translate well to clay. And Alcaraz, as a two-time champion, should look very sharp. So I think Alcaraz is going to be looking to come out with a purpose in front of the home country fans. Give me Alcaraz in straight sets in what should be a pretty straightforward matchup that takes around, I'd say, an hour and 20, maybe. Besides that, though, maybe even less than that. Going into the Kachanov match, though, Agut is kind of lucky to be here. Lost in qualifying to Ramos Vinolas. We know how bad he is at this stage in 2024. And barely beat Gallon in the first round. So he faced off against two, elder statesmen in the qualifying and the first round. Two guys that are not really equipped to handle marathon matches anymore, and Agut's one of them. I mentioned it before with Agut and other veterans. They're not bad in the first round of tournaments because they have ample rest time ahead of it. Agut didn't have that because he went through qualifying and he lost, and he faced off against another veteran in the first round. Kachanov, I just think, is the better player, and I wonder if Agut's going to have much left in the tank for this matchup. And coincidentally, even though Agut is past his prime now, even when he was in his prime, Kashanov's actually done well against him on clay. Kashanov is 3-0 in the head-to-head against Agut on clay, including a three-set win in Madrid last year. So he beat Agut in the exact same court last year, and he's 3-0 in the head-to-head, and now Agut is past his prime, and at a couple of marathon matches in qualifying and in the first round. I think Kashanov's going to wear him down. It might go three sets, but I do think Agut is past his prime, and I think Kashanov is equipped to handle him. So give me Kashanov to also win the match as the second pick in the parlay. Moving on to the dog, though, I am going to go with the 100-1 long shot pick to win his next match. Give me Medvedev on the money line at plus 145. Medvedev went through qualifying, and he beat Kovacevic in the first round, so he should be accustomed to the clay courts in Madrid. Laheshka, though, is kind of going off the grid. He has not played a match since March 24th, and on top of that, he has not played any matches on clay this year. He basically took a break after Miami, and if you want to dig into the last time Laheshka played a clay match, July 2023. I believe it was in Umag, and historically speaking, Laheshka, not a very good clay player anyway. So I'll fade the guy who struggles on clay, who has not played a clay match in about a year, taking a guy that was very good in qualifying, solid in the first round, and he's getting plus 145. It's a great price. Laheshka might be rusty from not playing in general, might be very rusty for not playing on clay in about a year, but Medvedev has been good. And in general, I like him as a player. There's a reason why I gave him out at 100-1. I thought that he had some value, and we're going to see what happens. But plus 145, I think it's appealing, and as a result, I am going to take it. So once again, the picks for the show. The lock's going to be on a two-pick parlay. Give me Alcaraz to win in straight sets, parlayed with Kashanov moneyline at minus 106. And for my dog, give me Medvedev moneyline at plus 145 against Laheshka. That's going to wrap it up, though, for this episode of the Tennis Gambling Podcast. A reminder for the actual schedule, we will be back for the next round of Madrid. So we'll be back once again for the round of 32. Until next time, though, find me on Twitter at Rysho Radio. Find me on the NBA show. I'm on almost every day. Find me on the MLB show. Find me on the WNBA show as well. Until next time, though, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.